hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Well, look at that. Welcome to the series, Matt Dumba. It's so nice to have you join. Six games in. The Wild has just scored a goal. That's right. We are starting Judd's Hockey Show early. And just as we were doing the countdown, Matt Dumba rifles a slap shot past the glove of Jordan Binnington. And now it's 4-1 in a game that the Wild basically quit. Well, I would say at the start of the second period. All right. I've done Declan, Judd's Hockey Show. I've done two TikToks between periods, becoming more and more pissed off. It's 4-1, but barring a complete miracle, this has been just an utter bleep show, embarrassing effort. You know what? No, I stand corrected, Declan. Effort means you tried. An embarrassing showing. I'm going to refer to Game 6, which is almost certainly going to be the final game of the Blues Wild first round series as the Suter Parisi Invitational, because it's like they are paying homage to those two guys by dogging it, by looking like crap. They quit, as far as I'm concerned, in the third period of Game 5 and carried that to Game 6. We want to hear from you, and we're starting right now, Declan, because you know what? There is no reason. There is no reason to prolong the agony of this crap. We want to hear from you. The game started late. It's Thursday going into Friday, so I'm sure lots of you have to work in the morning. So with that being said, I've got my Surly Furious, which is a very fitting beer. What beer do you have? Or what drink do you have, Declan?
I have my Surly Supreme, which I'm also about to indulge here with a little drop of also some nectar of certain spirit that our guy Surly Dave was able to recommend. Appreciate Surly Dave, and I'm going to need the Electro Elixir here on the Surly Supreme. Because I tweeted out, Judd, that I wasn't necessarily, I am mad. Don't get me wrong. I'm mad, but just depressed. It sucks. You said from the outright going into this series, it wouldn't shock you at all if the Wild lost this series to the Blues, and rightfully so. Blues are a good team.
I'd be
watching that. We've been watching that. I told you that it would be a massive disappointment. Massive. Now, if they would have made it to 7 games and, whatever, they lost 2-1. Okay. But the way, and I know Matt Dumba scores the moment we start this podcast, and just like typical Score North, we just are the trendsetters and just get this team to start going the moment that happens. But the way they're playing in Game 6 is embarrassing. And it's just, I'm guilty of this. Some fans are guilty of this. Media is guilty of this. We were just pumping our chest. Remember when Anson Carter, I don't know why I thought about this about 10, 15 minutes ago. Remember when Anson Carter mocked the Wild for depth?
Yep.
And then everyone started the t-shirts and started this trend. Depth, 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 depth. Yep. It's all about depth. We have depth, you idiot, blah, blah, blah. And now here we are. First round series, getting us absolutely embarrassed by the St. Louis Blues. Your best team of all time.
Yep.
The best team that the Wild have ever had, at least in the regular season. Best season team I've ever seen in my lifetime. And we mocked it, and we embraced the Winter Classic, which was cool, and we all thought this was going to be different, right? And then here we are, 10 days after this playoff series started, doing our first obituary and morgue on this, and it's incredibly frustrating. And by the way, this is Wild Ventline.
Yeah,
this is a safe space. We want people to come on here and talk to us, and we have plenty of people, I think, who are on their way. So if you want to get in, safe space. You are not a bleep fan for being upset about this. We'd love to welcome you on and talk to you guys about the game.
Yeah, I have no idea what the defense would be for this game. Like, I have no defense. But yes, we want to hear from you. We are starting now because the Wild's on the power play. But, I mean, at this point in time, it's a three-goal game, and the Blues have just completely they've dominated, and the Wild looks at times like they don't care. I mean, that Wild penalty kill is a complete joke. It is just a complete joke. Ryan O'Reilly basically has tea and crumpets in the slot, and they're like, hey, do you want a blankie? How about a glass of milk? I mean, it's disgusting. So, yes, let's get people indexed. Let's start to take because there's not – I want to hear what people say. I'd love to hear what people that went to games invested their hard-earned cash. I will say this. The only thing that I will say is, and I said the same thing with the Wolves, there is like no fallout on the fans. I think you did your job. You sold out the building.
Yeah.
you're nervous, but we all are at different times. But like, I have no interest in crapping on, like, this is all to do with the team. I will say this. Chris Finch struggled, I thought, in the first round, 6-game loss to the Grizzlies. The Wolves coach was not great. Dean Evason, by comparison, has been awful. He doesn't deserve to be fired, but he deserves to have his lack of adjustments and his coaching in the first round against the Golden Knights last spring, Declan, and now this round, examined very closely. And if Bill Guerin blew him out, I wouldn't be completely shocked. I'm not advocating for that, but you're literally talking about zero adjustments. He has zero adjustments. And to leave the lines tonight, and okay, the goaltending thing, that's the ordinary, oh my God, let's change something. But he didn't juggle lines once. He put Duer in tonight instead of Delorier, who's hurt. He put Kulikov, who high-sticked Ek and tipped the first goal in for the Blues. Like, he didn't do anything. Zero adjustments. If Chris Finch didn't have a good series against the Grizzlies as the Wolves coach, Dean Evason has had an atrocious series coaching.
I mean, he's not getting fired, awful. Judd. Like, he's not.
No, he's not. No, he's not. But you got to look at this. You got to look at this. This whole thing of, hey, the room runs itself. Dude, this is the playoffs. He has disappointed massively. But all I'm saying is the only person more upset than the fan base and us tonight, because there are some folks in this town who are like, well, the team's still good. Bill Guerin's livid. There's no question. He's not watching this and like, well, there's silver linings. And nice of Jarrett Spurgeon not to show up too. I'd like to really congratulate him. And before anybody says guys are hurt, which is true.
Oh,
the Blues had guys hurt. And you know what the Blues did? If you couldn't play, the Blues sat guys.
Yeah.
Like, Dean probably should have looked at Dumba and said, okay, Kalen Addison's not great, but he can play. So don't give me that guys are hurt. The Blues were without four defensemen in game four and they won. So don't give me that crap.
Yeah.
Jared Spurgeon played and he has been a no-show. Brodin's not been good. So yeah, this has just been absolutely mortifyingly embarrassing for Bill Guerin. And Bill Guerin, I guarantee you, is far more upset than us. I agree. Dean's not being fired. Do I think Dean's going to be looked at a little bit? Absolutely. And he deserves to be. Awful series.
If you'd like to get in on Wild Vent Line, it's scrolling across the bottom of your screen right now. It's VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. We have some people in the room already filtering up, but if you'd like to come on and talk to Judd and myself, please do so. If this is the first time you're watching, or if you're a Blues fan and you want more Minnesota sports pain and entertainment, hit the subscribe button on this YouTube channel for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Apparently, the Hockey Whisperer said he's going to retire the Whisperer moniker if the Wild indeed lose this game. We'll see what the Whisperer has to say probably tomorrow. I think the Whisperer will hold off his takes. I know I see some comments saying, will the Whisperer be joining probably tomorrow on Mackie and Judd? But I never know with the Whisperer. But if you'd love to get in on the show, please save space. No matter how pissed you are or anything you have, any hot take, any calming take, lukewarm take, join us. It's VikingsVentLine@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you guys.
Hey, Declan, I just found him. I found Spurge. He's been on my shelf the whole time.
Spurgey.
That's why he's not. That's why he didn't participate in the series.
Got it.
Spurge has been on. He's been on my shelf the entire series. Well, I should have taken him to the X or to St. Louis.
There's our captain.
Yeah, nice job, captain.
It's about hard work and having fun, right, Judd? It's what this is all about.
Let's just take the Let's just take the calls.
Okay.
Just so pissed off.
Jackson, you're the first out the gate. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's up? Wow. I absolutely hate this feeling, and I'm only 20 years old, and I've experienced so much of it as just a Minnesota sports fan. I mean, God, I feel this way after every single playoff or even regular season failures, whether that be Vikings, Timberwolves this year, and the Minnesota Wild. And it's just like, you just get so frustrated. But tonight was especially about two things, a penalty kill and the power play. And man, our penalty kill defense is just ridiculously bad. And I don't know how it can be that bad. The thing that sticks out, the biggest egregious thing that stuck out in my mind was when Brodin slid across to try to defend that pass, and then Marcus Foligno followed him to try to basically defend the same guy and left, what was it, O'Reilly? I can't remember. Wide open O'Reilly. In the back door. That's just absolutely atrocious. And then for the power play, it's like, I absolutely don't understand how you put, how you don't put more pucks in the back of the net, because the Blues are literally giving you a blueprint on how to score goals. They shoot the puck. I understand. Like, I was at game five, and I was around a bunch of drunk fans that were just like screaming, "Oh, shoot the puck!" And I understand, like, to a certain extent. Like, obviously, you don't shoot the puck every single time you get it, but the Blues put pucks on the net. They get greasy, grimy rebounds, and they put it in the net. I don't see. I don't understand why Dean Evason doesn't look at that. Why the coaching staff doesn't look at that and be like, "Oh, hey, that's probably a good idea to shoot the puck and get rebounds and put them in the back of the net."
Jackson, yes, dude. I've been saying the same thing during the power play, right? Like, the Blues have this lethal power play, and the, and it's not just like a scheme fit. I mean, there is some scheme fits there you have to do, but the evidence is in front of you. The opposition's doing what you can do, and you have permission and the horses to make that happen.
They, I feel they have way, in my opinion, they have way more skillful players.
They do.
At least players that can score goals. They have way more goal scorers on that power play than the Blues do.
You can't convince me that the penalty kill is not largely effort too. And I mean, for O'Reilly, hey, look, he's a load. It's going to hurt to move him, but to leave him standing there in on the doorstep is basically guys making career decisions, financial decisions. Like, that's what that is. Like, if the power play doesn't work, that's frustrating to watch, but I get there's skill involved there. And like, your coaching might not be great or something like that. So I'm not excusing it, but the penalty kill to me, Jackson, is effort. And I mean, Brodin doing what looked to be a snow angel and Foligno following him. That's stupidity. And like, that's the thing about this. Ultimately, a lot of the small things that are going to result in this series being lost are stupidity. The Dumba pass that O'Reilly picked off in game four was stupidity. I mean, that was just an irresponsible, stupid pass. The third goal in game five was stupidity. It got dumped in. Hartman thinks it's icing. He raises his arm instead of going and pursuing the puck. Fleury and Middleton have some type of confusion. It's the playoffs. That's not excused. Like, it's not like, oh, they had a couple, you know, that's a January thing. And then Greenway goes to the wrong place.
Right.
Like, that's just stupid. Like, this, you can't have that. And that is, that gets back to my point though. That's somewhat that or not somewhat, that's coaching too. Like, that's all breakdowns. That's coaching. That's not just on the players. That is not being prepared to play, because Dean's whole thing is, I give the players control. Well, that's awesome in the winter months. In the spring, you got to take control back or have that ability. He didn't do it.
Yeah. Just one more thing. The thing that blows my mind, you, Judd, you mentioned like effort on the power or on the penalty kill. Why? This is the most important game of the season. Like, why isn't maximum effort there on the, not only a penalty kill, but just the Wild came out playing like their tails were in between their legs. They came out flat. Like, how do you come out flat in the last game of the, potentially the last game of the season? Blows my mind. So frustrating.
Jackson, great stuff, man.
Thanks, Jackson.
Thank you. Hang in there. You're young. Perhaps things will change in your lifetime. I'm losing faith about my lifetime.
Yeah. Judd says make it 50. No guarantee you make it 60.
Exactly right. So. Thank you very much. You're exactly right, Declan. Yes, Jeremy, we needed more from Kevin Fiala. No question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. Very incredibly disappointing.
Really bad.
Yep.
Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Oh, hello there, guys.
What's up, Austin? How are you, bud?
All right. I'm just going to talk about the future, because there's no point in talking about this season, because it's over and we look bad. And honestly, that doesn't even look like elimination game, because we just didn't come out and play. Anyways, I got three takes. You can use this to write that down if you want to. Jasper Walstead signs his ELC before the draft. Kevin Fiala gets traded before the draft. And this is the home run. Kevin Fiala gets traded to the New Jersey Devils for swapping picks, swapping first rounds, sending a second, and we get the second overall pick.
Wow. Wow. I love the speculation, buddy.
I mean, boom. Yeah, I'd take that. If I don't think you're going to get that from the Devils, but I would. But, dude, if you could do that, I'll do that in a heartbeat now.
Jeff Merrick, the 32 Thoughts podcast, have already talked about it. So that's where my team's coming in. But, yeah.
I love it.
Wish Fleury played, by the way. I don't know if you can see. I got a signed Fleury picture, but.
Oh, very nice.
There we go.
Yeah, I got
There we go.
Matt Murray.
Look at that setup.
Yeah.
And Fleury.
I love it. Austin, I love the reckless speculation, man. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it.
Stuff, dude.
Yep. Yeah. Love the reckless. I wouldn't be surprised if that Fiala steam continues into the offseason. I don't think the Devils give up the second overall pick for it.
No.
Like sixth or fifth, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I think
second
it was,
overall pick. No, and it's a weak draft class, by the way. This is a weak draft class, but still. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't think he's back now, though.
No, I agree.
Like, this is not good. I mean, it wasn't like he had one bad game. He had an entire bad series, and it's the second year in a row he's done nothing. And look, I mean, again, Dean just left those lines together. Can't separate Goudreau from him. Why not? Hartman's got to center that first line.
You need a better center than Goudreau.
Yeah, well, you know what? This team is not going anywhere now. Now it's been confirmed. They are not going anywhere until they get, like, if Rossi's really good, that's huge. But if he's not, they are going to just maintain this. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly's a force. Mm-hmm. And the Wild doesn't have anyone who can come close to him. Not even close.
Nope. We'll go to Nick. Hey, Nick. Hey, how are you, man?
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, got you. Okay.
Oh, man. New listener, by the way. Love your guys' content.
Thanks, dude.
The two things that irritate me the most, because we knew the special teams were going to be bad. That did not surprise me. But the two things that irritated me was this team could not score and they could not win at home. And they did that in the regular season, but that was still my two biggest fears going into the playoffs. And it happened. They couldn't score and they went 1-2 at home. So it just irritates me because.
But at home, they were good.
They won 1-2. I mean, yeah, but in the playoffs,
season,
they only won one game, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what bothered me is that. They were good at scoring goals and winning at home in the regular season, but it all disappeared in the playoffs, and that's what bothers me the most.
But I agree with you, and here's my problem, though. It's going to stick in my craw, the game 4 loss, because you had four defensemen out, four good defensemen out, and you played a stupid game. And the third period of game 5, it's not excusable, and that's where I come back to coaching. You weren't prepared for that period. Explain that to me. I mean, and then in game 6, you weren't prepared, period. But in game 5, it's 2-2. Kaprizov has given you yeoman's work. Unbelievable, right? You're at home. It's the decisive period. You got a chance to go up 3-2. Everything says you win this game. Everything. And the third, you know, the Tarasenko third goal is a breakdown in what gets coaches fired. A miscommunication between a veteran defenseman and goalie. I don't care if they haven't played 2 weeks together. This is the playoffs. You have to know. And here's the thing, too. The whole thing with. So it might have been icing. They were confused, okay? But Fleury didn't play the puck, and it looks like, I think the miscommunication was, Middleton thought Fleury would play that puck. I've watched enough games since Flower got here to know this. Fleury doesn't play the puck well. So, and by the way, if you don't in that situation, I'm all for not playing it. So, like, my scouting report said, I'm not shocked he let the puck go. Now, Binnington would have stopped it, but Binnington can play the puck. So, like, what went wrong, I watch games from the press box. I'm a dude that like the North Stars. Like, this is, like, if I have a premonition, then you sure as bleep should, too. So, these are the type of things. I mean, this is a... Tonight is embarrassing give up, but the reality is what lost you the series was game 4 and 5, and that was an embarrassing lack of execution, inexcusable because these chances don't come around much. So I am beside myself.
Good stuff, Nick. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for finding us.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate everyone coming on. Joe, we have a packed room here. This is awesome. So we'll keep it moving here on Wild
Bet. I'm going to get another beer.
You go get another beer. I'm going to get John on here in just a second.
I love you, people.
But also, if this is the first time you're watching Score North, thank you so much. Hit the subscribe button for Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. This is the home of Mackie and Judd and Judd's Hockey Show. I'm Declan Goff, executive producer here at Score North. Judd Zolgad is grabbing us early furious as we speak. Phil Mackey and the Hockey Whisperer are crafting takes somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. That'll be crafted also for tomorrow's show. So hit the subscribe button, Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. Let's keep it moving on Wild Bentline. Go to John. John, what's up, dude? You know what? We're having some audio issues there with John. Let's move on to Drew instead. Hi, Drew.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? Doing okay?
No, I'm not. It's just what a disappointment of a season. Like, I turned it off after the third goal. Like,
don't blame you.
I just don't have words for how pathetic of an effort you come out with in your do or die game. Like, it was less than a month ago where we thought Dumba versus Fiala was, I mean, it was a problem, but it was, you're deciding between two people who are like crucial to your team, and they're like a good problem, I guess.
Right.
Like, I don't think either of them are on the team next year. And I think there should be some serious leadership changes in there, because I don't think Spurgeon did anything to get this team going. Dumba was kind of a joke this series. And Foligno, I mean, I think he's good, but I think there needs to be better leadership. And, I mean, it's just disappointing. Real disappointing.
A lot of people got exposed. Mm-hmm. A lot of people got exposed. And I don't think Bill Guerin's going to look at this as, well, they learned a lot. I think he's going to basically do what you're talking about, which is there have to be, I mean, you have to examine now everything, I think. And yeah, I mean, from Dean to Spurgeon, I mean, Spurgeon, I'm sorry, in my opinion, for his talent, no-showed the series. Starting with that stupid, which should have got him suspended for a game, that stupid penalty. Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you sugarcoat this, given our expectations. And I did say that I wouldn't be shocked, I'd be disappointed if they lost, but I never in my wildest dreams thought that these guys would basically do a callback to the Parisi, Suter, Zucker type teams. You know,
I don't think, other than getting swept, I don't think there's a worse way they could have gone out. Than like this.
Yeah, it's probably accurate.
It's probably a thousand percent accurate. A great point. It's a great, again, tonight is an embarrassing no-show, but games 4 and 5 were complete ineptness when it mattered most.
Yeah.
You're right. And I mean, to turn it off, look, if I didn't have to watch this crap for my job, I would have turned it off too. Go watch something else.
I started making dinner in the second period. I put the office on. Good for you.
More entertaining than this.
Go watch some Jim and Dwight pranks. Watch some Creed Bratton. Try to get some smiles in your face.
Don't watch Creed Bratton. He looks just like Dean. You're reminded of Dean.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, thank you. God bless sports, son. All you sports sons out there. All you kids. I feel
God bless. I'm sorry, too.
You're old compared to these kids.
I know. I am. Full room.
Coach Jesse Pierce. Jesse, join us. Come on. Jesse, get on here. Come on.
It's a packed room right now in Wild Bentland. I don't even know if I can get another invite in. That's how many people are hanging out, which is it's a good thing. I would love to hear
Jesse,
too.
Let's keep them going. I've got mine.
What's up, Seamus?
Hi, Seamus.
Hey, how are you both? How are you doing tonight?
Not well. I mean,
not well, yeah.
BS.
So I came on here the other night, and I ripped Spurgeon for going minus three. And I had some time to think about it. And I am maintaining my opinion that he is not a playoff caliber player. He is small, which is fine. You can be a small defenseman, but you look at recent Stanley Cup championships teams, the Blackhawks, Duncan Keith, Drew Doughty, Victor Hedman. They are all 6'2", 6'4". They all control the middle of the net. If a rebound happens, they sweep it away. And that's just not Spurgeon's game. And the fact that he takes up a lot of money, I mean, you, this podcast has done a great job going through Guerin and Fenton, as they officially lose here. But they go through Guerin and Fenton, cleaned out that room, right? Granlund, Niederreiter, Coyle, Zucker. Did they miss the defenseman corpse? I mean, Spurgeon?
And corpse is a good word.
Yeah. Dumba, Brodin. I mean, Brodin's a good player, but, is he a playoff player? I think Guerin needs to rework that room this offseason. That's got to be top priority. And finding a number one center. But, unfortunately, he's missed the boat. I think with the salary cap hell, he missed the boat on the center. So if we have any hope of going forward. I mean, the Blues, they are using Nick Leddy and Marco Scandella. Nick Leddy and Marco Scandella, and they are physically controlling the front of the net. I've watched Nick Leddy and Marco Scandella play for the Wild. They're not great. So I just, why can't the Wild get that effort out of their defense in the playoffs? It's ridiculous.
Thanks, Seamus.
The Wild flat out does not have a Colton Parenko. Like, I mean, Middleton stepped in it and did a nice job. Again, in the regular season.
He'll be brought back.
And I don't mind him, but what I'm saying is Parenko, I mean, here's the thing I want. I want guys who are good and can kick your ass. Yep. O'Reilly can do that. Parenko can do that. And to Seamus, I mean, Seamus is 1,000% right. Again, I think that this series, and this is no consolation, taught us a lot about certain people.
Yep.
I mean, he's right. Brodin, Spurgeon. We're terrible as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the defense is bad. I think Dumba's gone. I think that he's more of a lock to be gone than Fiala. And I think both of them are on the chopping block. But
yeah,
if I'm a betting man, I think Dumba's gone. He can't shoot anymore. He can't shoot.
Hey, what do you mean? He scored the one goal tonight. It was very exciting.
Congrats. All right, keep it going. Packed room. Luke, what's up, bud?
Hey, Jim Declan, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Not well.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. This is crap.
Yeah. I kind of watched a while from an outside perspective because, I mean, I'm a fan, I guess, but I'm more of a Wolves and Vikings fan than I am Wild because I know more about basketball and football than I do hockey. But
Wolves don't do any favors.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But I don't know. Like, I was even telling my dad tonight, like, the way that the Wild lost this series was actually more disappointing than the way that the Wolves lost. Because it seemed like the Wolves came into these games with a better mindset than the Wild. The Wild just, a couple of those games, the Wild seemed to kind of, come out and play and dominate. But they, most of the series, it just didn't seem like they were focused. And to come in the way that they came in tonight and play just like it didn't even matter. Like it was just another, game. Like they played like it was a regular season game. Like it didn't even matter. And it kind of makes me wonder, like, where's the culture? Like, where's the sense of urgency,
You know what, too? What's frustrating or what's maddening about this is, that's a great point. And now, like, I thought it had been changed. I'm shocked by this. I'm not shocked they lost. That's very disappointing, but I'm not shocked. How they lost is shocking.
Yeah.
And to your point, I mean, yeah, it feels like you got to go back now and look at all the things that you did. But I agree with you on the Wolves. So the Wolves, I mean, the Wolves, it was embarrassing and it was tough to watch. And there were guys that didn't do at times what they should have done.
D'Lo.
But yeah, D'Lo and Cat in some games, and then Cat would come back. But my problem was, first of all, rightfully so, expectations for the Wild were higher. They should have been. Second of all, the Wild quit tonight.
They did. It seemed like once they got down like 1 or 2 nothing, like they just seemed to not even care anymore.
Yeah.
And that's not the right way to play, especially when it's an elimination game. Even if it's not an elimination game, you should still go out there and try to play. Yeah. I mean, it's just a losing mindset. It's a losing mindset.
You put it perfectly, man.
You're wise beyond your ears, Luke. Good stuff, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great stuff. He's right.
Yep. almost 1,000 people watching us right now on the Score North YouTube channel. So thank you to everyone for watching us and venting and being in a safe space with us. Hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. We'll try to get, we're going to get to as many of you as we possibly can. Judd and I, we got nothing else to do.
So I got, we're going to,
I got I'm by the fridge. You grabbed the
product placement. I just grabbed it.
I'm right over
Furious.
There.
Yep. So you know what? You come in, you know what? Sports Dad and Sports Son, we are in the confessional until you guys are all done. So you come into the confessional and you tell us your frustration, your upset, and I totally get it. I totally get it. So we are here for you. We have voiced our opinion. I do agree with a lot of you, though. I do agree with a lot of you. Like I mean, your point's well taken, Dex. We have some young listeners who are incredibly smart, and they are right. And I would love to tell you, at 52, a sports dad, it gets better. I haven't seen a championship since 91. I can't tell you it gets better. And for the Wild to do this, it's just so frustrating.
All right, let's try to get John back on. John, can you get us? You guys okay now?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, got you. Okay,
I can hear you, John.
Yeah. So a couple of things. As far as, you know, everybody keeps talking about effort, and I think what's confusing to me, and I've seen it not with just the Wild, but with other professional teams, and especially in series sports, right, where there's a 7-game series or whatnot, you play 82 games to get to that point, and you go through injuries and trades and all this to get to that point. I mean, I could see being almost too amped up, too much adrenaline or whatever, making mistakes. But the lack of effort just, it doesn't register with me. And I don't know if it's a thing with pro athletes. Is it a compete thing? Because Christ, if I'm playing, with my 11-year-old, I want to kick her ass at it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to win. There's something in me that wants to win. And I don't understand how you get to the playoffs. And the series wasn't even that entertaining. Each game was supposed to be so close and hard fought. Even the games we won were lopsided. And I just, that's kind of it on the effort thing. And I think my other point is, when it comes to coaching, I don't know the game that well. I'm not like a guy that knows schemes and all this sort of thing. But holy, you know, when you're in the middle of it and things are going badly, and I listen every week, and every week on the hockey show, it's always the power play's terrible. It's the power kill's terrible. Nothing changes. At what point, why don't you just throw out 5 random guys just to see what the hell happens?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it better to at least, okay, we know these 5 don't work. They should, but we've tried it 75 times and it doesn't. So, and it kind of comes to the in-game stuff. And I almost felt like, and so 2 more points. When I looked, since Jacques Lemaire, the Wild have not had a coach with playoff success in their entire history.
Correct.
Like Boudreaux, I mean, not with any team, not just with the Wild, but not a single Correct. Coach has had playoff success before we hired them or after or during. And that to me would be a prerequisite to wanting something. And it leads me to my last question, which is, can't you, instead of, maybe at the trade deadlines, we could get like a rental coach just for the playoffs.
I get your point, man. John, it's a good point. Like you're right. Jacques Lemaire. Listen, here's the thing. I understand there's pushback against the, you know, term, the coach won that game. I totally get that. But to John's point, he's right. They make a difference. Schemes make a difference. Adjustments. Playoff hockey is probably much more akin to football than regular season hockey, Declan,
because
Craig Berube made adjustments. Some of them were subtle tweaks on lines to get people away from the Ek line. In goal, he made a big adjustment there. And in doing so, Binnington not only played well, but he brought in a goaltender who could play the puck. And that then beats the Wild's forecheck. Husso didn't do that. So last night in Calgary, Daryl Sutter mixed up his lines and moved Tkachuk down to the third line. And post-game said he's not really fast enough for this series. First of all, it worked brilliantly. Second of all, he knew exactly what he was doing. So, I understand the whole thing with Dean of, hey, I'm going to let the locker room fix this. Because in the middle of the season, that's not a bad idea. In the playoffs, that's not what you do, Dex. Nope. So, yeah, John's point is a very good point. And it never feels like when the Wild gets to the playoffs, anybody takes charge, including, in this case, Spurgeon, Evason, anybody.
Keep it going.
Hey, guys, you got me?
Yep, I got you, Matt. How are you, dude?
I'm good. I mean, could be doing a lot better, but, a lot of my points have already been kind of touched on. Go ahead, anyway. It's, so many different things. From the coaching, the Boldy Fiala Gaudreau line did nothing the entire series. Yep. Did they even tally a single point? I'm not sure. You've got to be able to adjust off that. And I just don't know what they're seeing that, we're not the coaches. We don't know.
Right.
But, what do they see that makes them think that this is going to turn around after 3, 4, 5 games of nothing?
And why don't you, if you're Dean, right, why don't you juggle the lines a little bit? Like, I know that I know you don't have a center who's really good, but, they just continued. It was as if they were content to bang their head against the wall as long as possible. And it's like, try something different. Or here's what I don't get. So the power play goal that they got in Game 5 was when Foligno had come on the ice to replace Ek because he's on the second power play. But he presented a great screen on Binnington and Kaprizov scores. So I'm like, okay. Now, I know that takes away the center technically, but they've done that before. So Foligno, Ek works hard there, but Foligno presents a real screen. Like, he's just a screen, which he's good at. He's very good at. And instead of saying, we scored a goal on that, there's something there, the next power play, and through tonight, they went back to their traditional power play.
Exactly.
Which wasn't working. So, this is where I keep coming back to Dean. Dean deserves so much criticism because it's like, dude, you can't, your team's not good enough, clearly, to just be like, this is how we work. And I understand he supports the players, and that's great, but at some point in time, you've got to say, my job could be on the line here, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you completely. I mean, I am at a loss. I would love to participate in the next couple days, exit interviews for this team and say, what were any of you thinking?
And, not only Dean, but, I almost want to put a little bit of blame on Billy Guerin. I mean, I know we all love him. I love him too, but we know the deficiencies on this team. We lack a center.
Yeah, that's true.
Eriksson Ek is a stud, but we keep him down on the third line. I mean, for good reason.
Right.
But we come into this, and you said this earlier, we come into this playoff series against Ryan O'Reilly, and we're matching him up against Hartman and Gaudreau. Like, they're fine hockey players, but they're not going to win you a series.
Oh,
right. You're right. And O'Reilly kicks your butt. He's really good. Man. He kicks your butt. Yeah. More great points. Let's keep him going. This is great.
All right. Let's go to Josh.
Oh, hey, what's up, guys? I jumped on with you after Game 1 because I had gone to the game. So here we are, full circle. The handshakes happened. And I'm not even sure, am I more upset after this one or am I more upset after when the Twins got swept by Houston? It's kind of the same feelings about that. Everybody's already kind of touched on it, but man, during those handshakes, you could tell Kirill was just pissed, and I do not blame him at all. You could see the look on his face as he was going through that line. I mean, you have a superstar right there, and the rest of the team let him down. I saw it up on the screen there that he scored 7 of the 16 goals. I mean, what are you supposed to do in that situation? And even changing to Talbot, you guys said in the last event line about how it really wouldn't make a difference, and it made no difference. I think we actually probably should have stayed with Fleury. The stats said that he was better against the Blues, and you had ridden him this entire time. So why make the change? Like you're saying, change the lines, change the power play, try something different there instead. I fixed the towel. This is all it's about, I guess.
It's about playoffs.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Nice work. Yeah, stuff, dude. You know what? I got my towel right here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wipe my brow with it.
Oh, God.
Because that's about all you can do. It's maddening.
Yeah, and I even got this cool shirt, too, for Hartman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a fourth line center on your shirt, by the way.
But that was for a good cause. Donations went to
our guy, Chief.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, stuff. Chief. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
But
Josh,
yeah,
thanks for coming
Josh,
on, man.
Great points. They're all right.
Yep.
They're all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing.
Keep it going. Hi, Ryan.
Hey. So I want to start off with a little reckless speculation.
Love it. Shoot.
So you were talking about coaching in the playoffs and how much they make a difference. Guess who just got let go? You discussed it earlier today. Barry Trotz.
Barry Trotz, that's right.
Fire Dean, vegan Barry Trotz for the playoff expertise.
Yeah.
Don't let him go to Winnipeg. Don't let him go to Chicago.
We're close to Winnipeg. It's a good point.
Also, with everyone complaining about Fleury letting in soft goals, let's talk about that first goal that Talbot let in. Dominating the whole period, and then with 5 minutes left to go, you let a 1-on-5 goal happen against Lenny. Unacceptable. Even though it got deflected, it's just unacceptable. And then second period effort was unacceptable. Did not come out like season was on the line. Also, I was watching the TikToks between the second and third.
Thank you.
And the Wild Furious Rally's return for the first time in, 2 years?
You saw it, didn't you? You saw the same thing I saw.
I saw it, yes.
We're going to try hard now.
Yeah. And that's how we got our one goal.
Dude, that's awesome.
God, it's so true. The Furious Rallies were back, man. Of course, you get the one in the fourth.
What towel's worse, do you think, right now? Do you think it's the... this one?
No, the Wolves one's fine. No, I forget who it was. It just came on. The Wolves losing in six games to the Grizzlies is not as disappointing. Like, yes, there's moments. Actually, there was numerous games the Wolves should have won. They didn't necessarily choke. I wouldn't say that they didn't. Like, the Wild were expected to make a cup run. Like, the Wolves were going to give the Grizzlies fits. And at the end of the day, they gave the Grizzlies fits. They forced the team with the second most wins to a six-game series. The Wild got a tough draw on the Blues, who are damn good, so I'm not trying to discredit what St. Louis was, but the Wild were good all season and were expected to make a cup run. I don't think it's even comparable. I do not.
Yeah, I don't disagree that.
I think it's comparable.
Both were tough to watch, but I agree. The Wild's worse. Way worse.
All right. Packed room. It's almost midnight. Like 1,100 people watching. Love that for us. Love that for you guys. Thank you for helping and hanging out with us. We love hearing from all of you guys, so we'll keep it moving. Great. Let's go to Zach.
Hey!
Hi, Zach.
You guys hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Awesome. Good. Well, this is my first time in. As you can see, repping Houston. Been watching Wild Hockey for a long time.
Mike Young.
Obviously, a little more than disappointing tonight. But, I mean, hey, it's now done. To me, now we get into what I think is the fun part of the season, which is the abundance of reckless speculation, which I think the Wild's going to have a ton of potential in that because, frankly, I mean, we know stuff is going to happen. We don't know exactly what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does Dean Anderson stay? Does he go? Is Dumba gone? Is Fiala gone? Who are we going to bring in? We know what we're weak at. You know, definitely even regular season especially was proved in the playoffs. I mean, the center position, we really need that. We have some great guys, but they're not centers. I mean, it's, you can score, you can pass, but if you can't win faceoffs, that's going to hurt your power play, it's going to hurt your PK, it's going to hurt the team, and it really hurt the team in this series.
Yep.
We have Patrice Bergeron potentially maybe being a free agent. He might resign, might not.
Can't afford him.
Yeah, that is true, unless he wants something a little cheaper.
They got no money, man. They got no money. This was the run.
This was it.
It was. So, you know, does Bill Guerin see that and go, well, you know, I'm going to put out what I can and be competitive, make it fun for the fans, play some a little, you know, maybe do a little money puck, you know, try to find some people with cheaper contracts and keep it competitive. But, I mean, the future is bright. We have Wallstedt coming up. Rossi's doing good in the minors. We still have Kaprizov. We got him. We know we need to get center. The money's tight.
True.
We have a lot to look forward to. I mean, it is disappointing, again, as being Wild fans. And, well, I can't say I'm a true Minnesota sports fan because of Texas and my teams are all not that great either right now. But we have a lot to look forward to. And I think Bill Guerin is the GM we need and deserve. And I think he will do us good. But definitely the whole Dean Evanson situation, we need a coach that can make adjustments. We need a coach that can say, hey, listen, I'm coming in messing with your guys' locker room because I need to mess with it. We got to get on track because they just couldn't jumpstart themselves. And correct. That's also guys with the letters on their chest. And I think a lot of those guys are going to be gone.
Great point.
Sucks because they're great guys, but they're not playoff guys. And we need playoff guys. And we need to start building for that true playoff future. And that starts tonight.
Awesome stuff, man. Thank you.
Yeah, great stuff from Zach.
Again, great points. You're right.
Yes, the future is bright. This is not not going to have that conversation right now necessarily. I don't disagree with Zach that the future is bright. Rossi should be up here most likely next season from the get-go. Wallstedt's probably knocking on the door maybe quicker than even I think he is. Boldy flourished in his season. Yes, we will. Judd's hockey show, by the way, still lives on. And to Zach's excellent point, now the reckless speculation period gets the start with Judd and Declan, and we still get to watch some playoff puck that Judd and I love so much about this sport. So we get to enter that realm today. Obviously not the case talking about this little obituary that is now the Wild. Their season is over after a 6-game stanza to the Blues in a very disappointing fashion. But yes, we will be gladly getting to those points in the coming weeks and months. Very excited for that.
My fundamental problem is the future is not as bright as I thought, though, because there's elements of the future that you now have to be examined that I didn't think had to be.
Correct, yeah. And by the way,
the Rossi component, like, yeah, mm-hmm. there's certainly some bright spots, but there are guys now that you have to take a long, hard look at that I didn't think you had to.
And last thing on it, that's $69 million, hashtag nice, of cap space you have to work with for the next 3 seasons. The cap is $82 million, by the way, in the NHL.
Right,
so,
but that's also why they were trying to make the run this time. They didn't get past 6 games.
Yep, I agree. All right, keep going. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's up?
How's it going, guys? Can you hear me all right?
No, not great. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, we can hear you. Perfect.
Perfect. I guess, first of all, I just wanted to say, first time calling in, I've been listening to you guys back when you guys were in the good old days of AM 1500, back when you guys were known as Mackie, Judd, and Rami. And I remember you guys, like, were sort of my best source of entertainment throughout the pandemic. And so, you know, big fan, awesome. At least.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing to say is, I could go into just like pinpoint like individual players like didn't show up, you know, coach like didn't was out coached or whatever. But I think, and I'll let all the other callers like sort of get into that. But for me, like it feels like it doesn't matter, and that's really just sort of the theme of this rant. Like it doesn't matter. Like, and this sort of applies to like pretty much all the major sports teams in this state of Minnesota. Like, it just seems to me like any changes that like one of our teams, like they make it look like a team's finally getting their act together, ultimately like ends up making no difference. Like, you fired the coach, doesn't matter. Revamped the front office, doesn't matter. Got some exciting prospects down the pipeline, doesn't matter. Like, you dump the problem players on your team, you know, in the complete salary dump. Well, turns out maybe that's not starting to matter at all. Yep. And it's just, I don't know, because So my grandpa, bless his heart, was a longtime fan of all of like the Twins and the Vikings, and luckily he was lucky enough to see like two World Series at least. My dad also was lucky to see. Yeah, my dad was also lucky to see those two as well. But I'm half Judge age. I'm 26, so I was born in 95, so I just missed that cutoff of 91. So it's like, and it's just feeling more and more just like that. I feel like I'm gonna go the rest of my life like not see a Minnesota championship. And I mean, like, just all that combined, especially after this series, I don't even know if I can find it like exciting to be supportive of whoever is going to have the next like winning season. Maybe it's the Twins this coming season. Who knows?
But your point's a great point, because I get where you're coming from. And, right. and like, again, I'm 52. This season from the Wild was the setup for, second round, third round, maybe a run. Your problem is this, like, you're just hoping for successful regular seasons to give you a chance. But I mean, the Twins have lost 18 consecutive playoff games.
Yeah.
The Wild just went off their best season with a great player, just went into the playoffs and got bounced in six games. So like, I totally get, for lack of a better term, your despair, because like, where's the hope? Mm-hmm. Like, if they had won this round, there's three more to go to win a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally get the young people's dilemma. I'm with you, man. I mean, it's hard to get there, and it takes a sacrifice, and nobody's willing to pay the price. That's mm-hmm. the problem. Who is willing to pay the price? Nobody.
That's exactly it. And then just one more thing quickly before I go, I guess I will sort of kind of rip on a couple of people, unlike what I said at the beginning. First off, as much as rightfully so, Bill Guerin's probably angry. I hope he's also putting on, to some extent, the clown face paints and the wig, because especially with his whole "it's about bleeping winning" that we ran with it the whole season. I mean, I don't know. He's kind of looking like a clown right now, but you know, we'll see what he does eventually. And then second person, you know, I talked about we dumped the Parise and Suter contracts because, you know, we thought, you know, they were sort of bringing the locker room down, right? We sort of had that hint, especially, you know, with the things coming out about Suter recently. But maybe they should have also considered thought a little bit more before giving a certain captain the C-patch. I don't know.
I don't disagree with you. Yeah. I mean, he disappeared the series.
Yeah.
He carried none of the weight that a captain has to carry. So everything you said makes sense. The problem is it's incredibly discouraging.
It is. But yeah, that's all I had. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Chris, stick with it, man. Stay in there. I'm so sorry
stay in there. But I mean, but what I would call a cynical viewpoint is accurate.
Yep.
Like, how do you, if you're Chris's age or you're, you know, the kids that joined us who's 20, you know, what are you supposed to think?
Yeah.
And you're being fed this nonsense from certain people and certain people in our business, you know, about, oh, we're lucky that we have all, you know, no, we're not lucky.
Not lucky.
I love sports, but I want, but somebody has to see it played at its highest level.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but six games in the first round ain't going to qualify.
No, not at all. All right. Keep going. Let's bring in Tyler. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Oh, you know, just trying to truck through it right now. It's just been, you know, regardless of what happened in the playoffs, it's been the most fun time watching them in the regular season. But to just have them come up to the playoffs, to have all these expectations up to the playoffs about, you know, it's about up and winning, to get these major moves, you make some big moves, make big trades, and then just to get blown out. It's just super disappointing. I know a lot of people kind of already went through it, but you know, it's just really, really disappointing. And more in the sense that when you saw Kaprizov, you know, just work his butt off the entire series, and you just see the rest of the team just look so defeated and they look so down. It was just really, really, really hard to watch today, especially tonight.
Agreed. And there was a, I felt like they came out nervous and then gave up. And you're exactly right. And I don't, and here's the thing. I don't understand what happened from the third period of game five on. I don't get it.
Our buddy AJ Fredrickson put in the YouTube comments earlier that the Tarasenko goal, the first one of the third period, ever since that moment, this team's been flat. And, you know, Levi on our YouTube comment section too, game one and six, no show effort. Yeah. The bookends of this series were awful performances. You know, game four, they should have won with that team being completely banged up. And I even, you know, look, Jordan Binnington deserves credit. So I'm not trying to say he was just a passenger of helping the Blues rattle off three straight wins after not starting the, you know, first three games of this series. He didn't stand on his head this series. The Wild shot themselves in the foot after game four. That's case and bleeping point, dude. Jordan Binnington did not steal the Blues the series the rest of the way. The Wild sabotaged themselves and shot themselves in each toe of theirs and could not figure out how to beat them. That wasn't Binnington. That was the Wild. You lost on yourself, dude. Binnington did nothing to save the Blues. The Wild gave the series back to St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Still
absolutely. Up. Well, and well, partially, and you're right because of this. Scouting report wise, what did we say when Binnington got in game three? What do we say? You got to get to him. You got to get to him because the more confident he gets, the better he gets. And they did nothing to get to him. I mean, we talked about this. Again, this goes back to the scouting report. This is what's so frustrating. Fleury's not good at playing the puck, but yet they expect him to play the puck. You know, these are all the type of things that are maddening. Absolutely maddening.
All right, keep it moving. On Wild Bent Line. Let's go to Jared. Jared, what's up?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Hey, I like the Vikings.
I like the shirt.
Oh, thank you. It's an Etsy score. So I had a couple points here. I just want to know, what did we do? What did we do to upset the sports gods to deserve this? My first Viking season was 97, and then 98, it's like, what do we have to do to earn? Judd, unlike you, I wasn't around for the World Series.
Most people weren't. Now, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, we have the number one scoring offense ever. We went 15-1, and we can't. There's no reason for me to believe that this will happen in my lifetime. I have no reason to believe in that. I don't really want to talk about the game. It was that pathetic. It was basically the 2017 NFC Championship 38-7 all over again without the seven, without the 7 points in the beginning. Before the game, my girlfriend and I were watching Ozark, and we had like 20 minutes to go. But I was like, we can't finish it. I have to go watch the game. And then I live on the East Coast. And so if she goes to bed before I do, she doesn't let me sleep in there because she doesn't want me to wake her up. So I sacrificed the ending of the episode, and I'm sleeping on the couch tonight for that pathetic game. The last thing I want to say is I want to
keep it coming. Get it out. Sports Dad's here for you.
I grew up in Fargo. I moved to the East Coast. No one really relates to the Minnesota fandom and the heartbreak and all that. So you guys are a godsend. I listen to you guys while I work, while I do the yard work. Also, I want to make a toast to the Hockey Whisperer, his retirement. He did declare that he was retiring if it didn't go to game seven.
Let's pour one out for him.
Yeah, pour one out. Pour one out for the old
whisperer. Hockey Whisperer. Yeah.
To the Hockey Whisperer. May he live a long, prosperous life under an assumed name of something else.
Witness protection.
He needs to go into it after that piece of crap.
Cheers, Jared.
Thanks, guys.
Jared is awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Let's pour one out.
I'm sorry, we'll got to see the Hockey Whisperer.
Yeah.
He's got to see the couch tonight.
Yeah. All right, Judd. Special guest. Let's bring her in.
Oh, Jesse Pierce. Is. What's up, Jesse?
What's going on, guys? I'm good. How are you? Cheers. Well,
Cheers to you. You called the goaltending conundrum months ago. You were the first to do that. You obviously are on the beat covering this team day to day for the National Hockey League website, Bar Down Beauties. Can you talk me and Declan off the ledge at all after the last, well, really the third period of game five on game four frustrates me too, but yeah, help me out here.
No, I apologize. I cannot, because just like you all, they had me, right? I was like, you know what? I'm not going to believe in this team. I've been very critical, very harsh of this team, including the goaltending. They finally got me believing. I was like, you know what? You're right. This team, they're special. They're so great. And here we are again. Same exact situation. Like, I honestly, last time I felt this way, 2017. Does anybody remember what happened that year as well? So, I mean, it's just, I don't know what you do. I really don't, because I don't disagree necessarily with putting Talbot in tonight. Like, it is what it is. You needed to change things up. If you wanted to make that change, maybe go back and do it the last game or let Fleury finish it out. Defense was terrible. There was no offense, obviously, by one goal. Like, just everything, top to bottom. And then elementary mistakes. Like, there's no body positioning. There's no contact. Like, this isn't the St. Louis Blues of 2019, who are big, physical, brooding. Like, they try to be, but they're not. Like, on paper, Minnesota should have easily gotten out of this series. And here we are, venting and being sad about it.
Oh, hold on a second. First of all, I'm going to pop another crack of the can from because it's been so bad. There. But yeah, and I guess tonight, I really felt they quit, Jesse. I really felt they quit. O'Reilly being allowed to stand there on the power play, they didn't even try and move him. Brodin and Spurgeon, I didn't think were good. I guess here's the thing. This is as stupid as I've ever felt about a team, because I did defend them and I did think they were special and I did think they were nothing like the previous Wild teams. And starting with the third period in game five, we get a lot of the same old, and I got to admit, I'm shocked by that. Like, I didn't think this group had that in them, but they did tonight.
I mean, and part of it to me is you're getting out coached. You go back to Craig Berube making the changes that he had to make very early on, frankly. I mean, yes, Villiuso gave up 11 goals in those two games, but he made other line changes, and Dean has been so married to those lines all year, and that's a part of the problem. You look at the special teams too. Sorry to throw Darby Hendrickson under the bus, but he is your special teams coach, and Dean also needs to step in and say, hey, this hasn't been working all year. It's highlighted in the playoffs. It didn't work all year, you guys. Like, it has, and it sucked for a couple years now, let's be frank. Yeah, there just seemed to be no will. Like, it didn't seem like the Wild were playing in a do or die situation. You look at Tampa Maple Leafs series, right?
Exactly.
Like, exactly. I mean, come on. And there was just, and that's how, even if Minnesota had shockingly gotten out of this round, I don't know that they were going to put up the fight like that they needed to. And it is, it's special that the Minnesota Wild locker room is close and they're tight and they play for each other. But you need to do more. There needs to be, forget the whole game by game situation. Be pissed. You lost. It was embarrassing. Like, go out there and do something different. And it's almost like they were too cliche, too cheesy, too soft. I hate to say soft when it comes to hockey players, but that's kind of what it felt like.
No. Hey, last thing. What did you think about Dean? So Dean during the season had the whole thing of the locker room runs itself and they all say the right thing and we hear them do that, which, you know, in January is awesome. How did you feel about that translating into the playoffs, though? Because I felt like he didn't take control again, and he did the same thing against the Golden Knights last year. And I just, it's a red flag to me that eventually, as the coach, you have to step in and say, no, here's what we're going to do, or here's what you're not doing. He's so reliant on the players running the room that it's like he almost defers when he shouldn't.
I mean, sometimes I feel like that's coach speak, right? Like, maybe he's just telling us that because he doesn't want to give us the answer. However, you look at the captains in that room, none of them are really that vocal then either, because Jared Spurgeon's not going and yelling at somebody by any stretch of the imagination. Cool, yeah. Hey, I got one too.
See, I said, this is the problem. We found them. They were at our houses. He should have been in St. Louis tonight.
Oof, brutal. I mean, there were plenty of players that should have been in St. Louis tonight that were not, unfortunately.
Very true.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's the problem with Dean relying on the captains. Like, everybody loves Dumba, Spurge, and Foligno. They're not going to be ones that are going to chew your butt out if...
ass is fine at this hour.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, they're not. Yeah. And Dean isn't either. Right. So you're relying on Bill Guerin to come in and scare people. And I don't know how often he should have to do that. So
right,
we'll see.
All right, Jesse. Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Jess from the Bar Down Beauties podcast, NHL.com too. Great work. Friend of the show. She's great. All over the goalie situation. Well before you, like, don't get me wrong.
Hockey mind.
Don't get me wrong. Score North, Judd Zolgad, Phil Mackey, Declan Goff. Love to get on the train of reckless speculation and put trades out in the ether before even people are thinking about it. Jesse came on Score North.
She did.
That's in true. January and said Kaapo Kähkönen is off this team. They're going to replace him with a different goaltender.
Yes.
Great work from our friend Jesse. All right. A few more fans left here, Judd. It's past midnight. Love that everyone's still hanging out with us.
Still
hit the subscribe.
Enough, so.
Apple, Spotify. Appreciate everyone. Gibby. My guy.
Hey, Gibby, what's up, man?
Long time no talk. What's up, dude? Garage sale this weekend? Anything you want to
plug? A year ago, I was hawking my garage sale. But that was after the Wild blew a 2-0 goal lead or 2-0 lead game three against the Golden Knights, gave up 5 straight goals in game three at home. They would have been the lower seed in that series. And I just think it's poetic. But so because of that, a steaming pie of poop to serve you guys that is going to get pied in the face of 6 different people. I've got 6 steaming slices for you. We're going to start at the top down, and it starts with Billy Guerin. Look, I think he did really important stuff with the franchise, taking over for the not quite David Kahn disaster, Paul Fenton. But the fact of the matter is, Ryan Hartman and Freddie Goudreau on a Stanley Cup winning team are third and fourth line centers. Like, if Ryan Hartman or Freddie Goudreau is your fourth line center on a Stanley Cup team, you're going to have an advantage over most other lines. He'd go on Russo's podcast, stuff like that, say, the center doesn't matter. You can have playmaking wings. The center does matter. You are going to waste Kirill Kaprizov's prime years. This was the year to go for it. This was the year before salary cap purgatory for the next 3 years. This was the year the team played well enough to deserve a treat at the deadline more than just Fleury. Because Fleury was a good pickup, and I think Fleury's a better goalie than Cam Talbot. I think he just makes timid Minnesotans nervous because of his frenetic style of play, whereas Cam Talbot is cool and calm, but then gives up the goal that Talbot gave up in the first period tonight was the worst goal of the series from a goalie perspective. Okay.
Right about, yes.
And look, okay. Face-offs. Bill Guerin says face-offs don't matter. Guess what they do? Guess what helps a power play? Not having to chase the puck for the first 15 seconds after every single stoppage. Bill Guerin missed the boat on this. He's done well on other things, so he still gets the benefit of the doubt. But this is the offseason where he has to make it happen. And a way that he will show that he's serious is the next steaming pile of poop pie goes to Dean Evason, 35%, the largest one, because this guy just doesn't get it. When you can't get your guys up to play 3 times in one series, when any one of those games could have basically ended it, that's on. In terms of strategy, hockey is like the only manager that needs to strategize less in major sports is baseball. Hockey is a motivational sport. You can't get your guys up. There are different guys in here. It's not the same. You got rid of Suter. You got rid of Parisi. This is on Dino. He's getting angry is not enough. Saying, oh, darn, like Bruce Boudreau used to do. Playing Kulikov again, total idiotic move. The dude makes a terrible play in game 1. He's a puck watcher. the amount of times he's just skating aimlessly around the net when someone scores is just remarkable. And I think Goligoski is old and slow, and I think we've got him again for next year, right? He signed some super low extension.
They re-signed him, I think, to trade Dumba.
And no trade clause either.
He can't keep up. At least he's crafty, and it'll help in the regular season. He played that 2-on-1 a few games ago really well. He's not getting burned in the same way that Kulikov is just giving them free goals, and that's another huge strike on Dean. Like, what – I just think Kulikov's offense is outweighed by his boneheadedness on defense. Dean's the new Rick Spielman with the offensive line for Rick. It's special teams for Dean. You've been coached for 3 years in the playoffs now. You can't make this mistake again. Like, he's not – Dean is Mark Jackson when he coached the Warriors, and he had all this talent, and they couldn't break through. We need our Steve Kerr.
It's a great comment.
We need our Steve Kerr. We need a, like, how does Dean inspire? Dean was a culture changer, and he did his job in almost the same way that Zimmer did, taking over kind of a dumpster of a coaching situation. Gibby, what's up?
Does Barry Trotz intrigue you?
He's done it. You know, he also had that glass ceiling for a while. He's kind of like a more suave, little more bulldogish Bruce Boudreau in my mind. They've got the same body type, the ball thing. I'm open-minded to it. It's more just that, like, Dean's done his job. He's a regular season coach. I think the sternness and the staying level helps in the regular season, and it's helped the Wild avoid their February-January swoon.
I agree.
But Billy has to recognize that Dean's done his job, and now it's time to find someone else to get to the goal. I think that's a huge thing. And then also, like, if you want to win this game tonight, pull Talbot after goal three. Like, if you want to jolt your team awake, that second period was so atrocious. You think they're just going to turn it around organically? I think after goal three, you might still have a chance. Talbot was deep in his net. We're moving on. Now the first player, Kevin Fiala, man, you're basically D'Lo, except you scored more points in the regular season. It's the exact same thing. Both of them played their way out of town. These playoffs, like, in this game, he's passing up open shots in the slot for, like, drop passes and dipsy doodles. He can't even keep the puck on his stick. It is – there's no way you can keep him, and we don't need regular season passengers. So I'm just going to say he's D'Lo. He's better than D'Lo, but neither one of them is going to help Kyle pass the first round. All that we have on Suter Parisi – they got us the 2 second rounds, right? Like, they were professionals in the first round twice and cleaned up. And I feel like I don't remember those series. Well, one was the Niederreiter, and then one was the Blues.
The Blues.
The Blues. I know, before the Blues.
Gibby, I think.
Oh, there we lose Gibby.
I think Look, we lost him.
Unbelievable rant from Gibby.
That was Gibby.
Gibby
are,
there, bringing the fire with
you,
his
you deserve
robe.
A shot.
Dude pumped out his garage sale with me on the Vegas series last year.
He tweets me sometimes still now. He's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. Great stuff.
Jay, my guy from Cuzzies, who I saw last Friday.
I was just going to say, good Cuzzies. To see you last weekend for the first time.
Good to see you too, man. Welcome to the show.
I'll show up at Cuzzies. Thanks for the
invite. I know. It was a beautiful sunny day outside. A couple Shirley's firing around there.
Things were great. The Wild was in the playoffs. The Wolves might have
been
alive.
Things were looking up.
Minnesota sports was on top
of
the world.
Remember how fun that was a week ago?
Yeah, no. So just to start with you guys, I'm not going to ask you how you're feeling because, you know, I think everybody kind of knows how we're all feeling right now. But I just wanted to start with, you know, the Talbot and net tonight. You know, how much of that do you think is a decision to try to fire the guys up compared to – do you really think he's going to win you a game being this cold?
I think it was because they thought the team would respond to it. I think they thought, I think a lot of what they did, it's very weird, but I think a lot of what they did was based on how Dean judged that the team reacted in the regular season. Because this was a different team then. This doesn't surprise anybody. Playoff hockey is such a different thing that if you expect the same result that you got in a February game, you're crazy. So I think they thought, well, the guys will be fired up for Cam and Cam, you know, but the problem is too. And you know, I mean, Cam hadn't played in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that first goal is a bad goal. I mean, I'm sorry, it got tipped, but you got to stop that puck. That's blocker side. You got to get that out. But yeah, I think Dean did a lot in this playoff series based on exactly how he handled the team in the winter, and the spring ain't the winter. Not in hockey. I know playoff hockey. I've watched it my whole life. It is a different animal. It hurts. It sucks. It's not fun. It's not fun for players. They can say what they want, but the only fun is when you are skating around with a cup, handing it to teammates.
Right.
It's a bear. So, and I mean, they clearly weren't prepared for that.
See, that's how I felt about tonight. I was thinking, you know, if you really believe in your guys, we're going to stick with the same goaltender we've gone through the first five games, right? I mean, and the reason you're down 3-2 is not because of Fleury. It's just not. It's because everybody else on that roster.
Yep.
Well, so if you're going to try to win one game in St. Louis, you're going to keep the same guys out there. You're going to say, let's go for it. Fleury's not the problem. Don't look at him. Let's go. You guys are the problem. Let's go. And the fact that you start Talbot in that, I think it gives the guys another look saying, oh, maybe, you know, maybe he can get our game going when they haven't gotten their game going the whole series.
And they played like that, though. Like, they played like it was almost – so instead of Talbot starting, like, causing them to pick up the tempo, it's almost like they said, oh, we're dead.
Right.
Because, I mean, they started off playing, I thought, tentative, and then they gave up. Like, it looked like – it looked like a team that you would take for a pizza and ice cream. Like, it looked like a bunch of kids.
Yep.
And they look like, oh, we're dead. That's fine. So, yeah, a lot backfired. But I'm with you in the fact that they were let down by a lot of players, were not named Cam Talbot or Marc-Andre Fleury. He didn't play great, right, but he wasn't why they lost.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Jay. We'll see you, Cousins, again here, too.
Cousins.
We'll get you out
there.
All right, yep.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I'll be there next time.
Jay just, when I was at Cousins, quick story, on Friday, just some guy just points at me across the patio, Judd, looks me dead in the eye and just says, all he says to me, write it down. You like writing things down.
It was Jay?
All he said to me. And that was Jay. Jay. I love it. Appreciate it. A few more callers left. Kyle, what's up, man? Welcome to Bentline.
Hi, Kyle. What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep, got you.
Okay, that's cool. Fine. Had to figure that out. All right, well, congrats, Declan, on the write that down, starting Talbot. I switched my jersey second period to a team that will literally never let me down, the Twins.
Oh, God.
Hey, do I control us now? Nope, okay.
No.
Why won't they?
No, I'm joking. I actually don't care about baseball at all ever since.
Okay.
This is actually a real story. The center for the, Commanders now, Chase Roullier, was my neighbor growing up, and he smoked me in the middle of the head with a metal baseball bat growing up. I walked across the on-deck box, and that was like when I was 10. Full swing, never played ever again, didn't watch baseball ever again since then. So I don't care about anything other than the Vikings and the Wild, and it has been nothing but heartbreak. A lot of people talked about, you know, specifics of the series and the game, and right now I don't really care about any of that. No one showed up except for Kaprizov, as far as I'm concerned. The only person that really needs to be called out is Fiala, because he's one of my favorite players, and he absolutely sucked. I do feel bad for Talbot, but when you're put in a position to rise up and you fail, you suck. He let in an awful goal. It was just the worst goal I've ever seen, ever. I don't think I've been this disappointed since the NFC Championship game, because it felt like we were really building something there, and it feels like we were really building something here for the Wild, and we couldn't. I mean, we would have to have gone through them at some point, probably, and I don't care what, if it was the first round, second or third, who cares? You got to beat them. And so good luck, Minnesota, with that cap hit for the next 3 years. You're screwed. That's going to really, I mean, I don't know. Could they have traded them and given some draft picks to some team? Like, here's our second round pick. Please take this contract. Do anything other than, like, screw our cap for 3 years. That is going to suck.
No one wanted them. No, because
the contract. We'll give you 2 second round. I don't even know. I don't know. Look, it's so bad.
And
the day they signed those two, it was, if you didn't win a cup, a catastrophe, and they didn't come close.
Yeah, I get it. No one wants to pay Parisi $8 or $7 million. But a question before I go. Thanks for having me on. I've been watching you guys for years.
Thank you.
What is worse? I know we didn't get as far as the Vikings in 2017, and that goes, that's a lot, you know. But like I said, it did feel like we're building something. We've learned in hindsight that we really weren't, especially when we signed Kirk. Is this worse, or what do you guys think? That's all I had.
Than the 2017 Vikings? Thank you.
Yeah.
I think this is more disappointing to me because the 2017 really? Vikings, the 2017 Vikings were a feel-good story led by a quarterback who I had no faith in whatsoever, and it was a fun magic carpet ride. And don't forget, the Minneapolis miracle was the luckiest thing of all time. You blew that game, and you got incredibly fortunate. This was a franchise that I thought was on the right course and made some trades. They did everything that we want a Minnesota team to do. Deadline deals, getting guys at positions. I'm more disappointed by this. And plus that the Philadelphia game, this is a worse quit in this series than that was.
Oh, and that's
saying something.
Actually, I disagree with you. I would say that, look, the expectation going in 2017 was, keep in mind, not to go too far down this path, but it was supposed to be Sam Bradford year two, and should be a nice team. Should be in the playoffs. But then Case Keenum goes on this magic carpet ride. They get a bye. Yes, the miracle happens. The Super Bowl's here. And they lay that complete, absolute goose egg in Philadelphia.
Yeah, terrible.
I don't want to say it's not comparable because you just brought up very good points that, no, this to you, this is worse. I think the Vikings 2017 Philadelphia debacle is, I think, 10 times worse than what has transpired with the Wild this series, personally.
I am more shocked that a franchise, I had more faith in this team than that team. I am more shocked how they lost.
I get it. I got you. All right, keep it rolling here. I'm going to grab another beer as Matt joins us. Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, Matt.
How you doing? It's sad, you know? Definitely. The thing that sucks the most is the Wild, this whole year have been, even tonight, they're down by four, right? But even with 16 minutes left, you think there's hope, right? And that's the whole thing. This is the year that's been fun. I was at the Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh when they were down by two with 3 minutes to go. They tie up the game with a second left. You know, it's just exciting. And that's the thing that's sad is that this isn't going to happen next year. You know, it's like all these comeback wins that have been so exciting. That's the hardest part for me is like, sure, this was a tough game to lose, tough playoffs to get bounced from. This was our year. However, the entertaining side of it during the regular season, it just sucks that that's probably going to be done, you know, like,
right.
Especially I went to basic training for 8 weeks, February to April. Missed, you know, 30 games of the regular season. That's 30 entertaining times to watch this exciting Wild team play down the drain, and it's not going to happen, you know? Next 3 years are going to be tough. But
Matt, where'd you do your basic training at? What branch of the military are you in?
Lackland, Texas Air Force.
Yeah, cool. My brother went to Lackland, too, and was in the Air Force as well. So thank you for your service, man. Appreciate
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, thank I'll let you guys go, but, you know, hey, course, tough time for these salary cap years, you know? But, hey, let's go Wild, you know?
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate you. Appreciate your service, man. That's awesome. Yeah. It to Matt's point, I think that, and that's what I think is so frustrating. I didn't mean at the offset of the show when I went on my initial rant to call out fans and stuff, but it just stinks because this regular season was so much fun. And also, like, we clown Anson Carter and we had the outdoor game and there's so many fun things that are happening. And now, and I think I told you this going into the series, if you don't win this series, all that fun we had, it's for nothing. And unfortunately, my prophecy there has come true that it's all for nothing, and that's what's so disappointing to me, Judd. What I think is crushes me.
Well, what gets me is the fact that my expectations were so high because I mean I thought this team, and I do think this team is run largely by the right people, and I thought that this was a different collection, and it's not the fact they lost; it's how they lost.
Yep.
I mean, game five was so much fun. first period, Kaprizov, unbelievable. And I still think he's a phenomenal talent, so I'm not blaming him by any means. But, you know, the second period, that game was hard fought. And I'm like, this is a great hockey game. I flat out before the third period of game five in the press box told our friend of the show, Jess Myers, I said, you know the great thing about this? I said, I don't know how it's going to end, but I know they're going to work hard. And I know that there's potential here. And I know they've got a superstar player. And it's like they heard that. And they're like, oh, no, we'll show you how it's going to end. And I actually, just quickly, I almost feel worse for our younger viewers and Wild fans who I know and we certainly appreciate and like and love are out there. I feel worse for them because they don't even know a championship. And, but the problem is they're not even getting, and I mean, this applies to you too. They're not even getting close.
I know.
Like it's one thing to get to a World Series probably and lose, or it's one thing to get, you know, I mean, 2017, as disappointing as that was, you did get to the conference championship game. But when it comes to the Twins, 18 consecutive playoff defeats, the Wild, they go out in six games instead of seven this year in the first round. The Wolves, oh my God, they're up by all these points on Memphis. Now they're not. Now they're done. That's what's sad about it for the young people, because I mean, part of the passion that's developed, Dex, I was 17,
mm-hmm.
87.
Yep.
I went by my mom, God rest her soul, got mm-hmm. me a ticket. I drove down there by myself as a kid. I went to that game by myself, first base, upper deck. And the Twins won. Like, I saw World Series championship at 17. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And like, I can't tell you what your passion for sports does at that moment. Like, sports is great.
I can only imagine, dude.
I love sports. And sports is great as a rule. But when you see a team win a championship, when Gaetti gets that ball and there's that moment of hesitation before he throws to Herbeck to end the World Series.
Right, man.
What that does for like the rest of your life, as far as, oh my God, 91. Dawn and I sitting in left field, game seven. We're in left field. We're in the corner. And Larkin hits that ball and Gladden scores. And like, I'm tearing up. Like, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm 21 and I'm thinking to myself, I know this is going to happen a lot. Norm. But yeah. This is, well, but I'm also thinking, I won't lie here. When Kaprizov did what he did in game five, I like almost got emotional. Because it was like he took the game on his back and said, screw it, I'll just do it. And I don't know why, but for some reason, when people show their best, it makes me emotional. So I was like literally emotional. And I was like sitting there thinking, this is like, this kid just said, bleep him. Bleep everybody. Yep. I got it. I love that. You know, the pocket stuff. It's unbelievable. And to have the failures that the young people now have to see and then get fed this garbage, it's part of why I people in our business drive me crazy, who are like, this is good enough. No, it's not. You don't know greatness until you see greatness.
Quickly, just last point for me here before we wrap with a few more Wild Bentline guests. I mean, what I think is what's so puzzling to me is, so I'm 29. I've seen all four of these teams, kind of funny enough, get on the doorstep of going to a championship early. I saw the Wild make their run of the conference finals. I saw the Wolves make their run of the conference finals. I've seen the Vikings in multiple NFC championship games already. Yeah. I've already seen this happen. I saw the Twins actually, like my first real conscious Twin season was 2001. And then in mm-hmm. 2002, they go to the ALCS where they beat the Oakland A's. So I got like teased, right? Like as a 10, 11 year old, kind of even thinking, and this is what's so funny to me is like, oh, this is, we win playoff games. We win playoff series. And 2 years later, the baseball team loses 19 straight games. The Wild have won two playoff series since then. Brett Favre and Case Keenum basically ripped my heart out ever since then. The Wolves have been a mostly GD disaster up until this year during that timeline. And then my last point is I look at these other teams that have been on the doors. The Kansas City Royals, the Tampa Bay Rays, the St. Louis Blues, the Chicago Blackhawks. I've seen teams that have been historically crap. I almost said something. Just absolute crap.
Yeah.
Okay. Why can't Minnesota do it once in one of those damn sports? I just listed crap. The Bengals went to the GD Super Bowl this year.
Right. Well, yeah. And that's why I want teams to tear it down to build it back up. Because when you build it back up and get it right, when Joe Burrow comes along, it's a life changer for your team. And at some point in time, across the four major men's sports that we watch, right? Good enough isn't good enough.
Yep.
Making the playoffs is not good enough. When I was quickly, a kid, yeah.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when I was a kid, like when the North Stars would do what the Wild did tonight, you were incredibly frustrated. And nobody said, and also too, though, no one calling the game on television tried to tell you it's been a great year.
Yep.
And that's what drives me crazy. Yeah, I mean,
that happened already
tonight. Valley feeding people crap. Well, I did, because I enjoy when they're playing poorly to see those guys try and spin it, but it's just crap. I mean, they're literally lying to you.
Talbot on the game five, on the season being over, to be honest, is from a friend of the show, Michael Russo. Talbot said, I was, quote, doing everything I could to stay ready. You don't want to come into an elimination game, but you want the opportunity to play during the playoffs, and they gave me the opportunity. It just wasn't good enough. And then continued on saying, obviously, was I disappointed? Yeah, I'm pissed off. Yeah, but they expected that. They want you to be pissed off. I mean, who doesn't want to play in the Stanley Cup playoffs? But I respect the decision, of course, the latter part being the decision that Marc-Andre Fleury started the first five games over Cam.
That's right.
And this is why I liked Cam Talbot. Mm-hmm. Despite the play, or despite should he be in there or not, this dude has some serious awareness, and that's what I like about him. And he'll be back next season. He'll be the last year of his contract, but he'll be back. I'd be pretty surprised if they moved him. He'll be back next season. I think he'll be back as a goaltender.
He'll be back next season, but there's a repair to do now because they showed zero faith in him.
Correct. All right.
But I don't disagree with you.
A few more left before we wrap. Bubba, you've been a loyal supporter here.
What's up, man? Good talk to you.
Yeah, I think I tweeted you after game five that I had a bad feeling about this. Here we are. I don't know what it was. I had a bad gut feeling going into this game, and I watched it at work. I checked it once. It was 1-0. Then I come back. It was 4-0. Then, Judd, I saw your tweet. I'm shutting it off. I'm like, good, me too. And I did. And so I saw this on a Vikings vent line where you had a listener wearing a Brady jersey because he wanted to feel what it was like. And I have a Bobby Orr jersey because I want to feel the same thing.
Good for you.
You know, I mean, it was – Judd, you said it best. I'm right there with you. I had about as much faith as you did in this team, and then it was just Minnesota sports kicked in. And Dex, you said it best. They shot themselves in the foot. Flat out. You know, there's nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, yes. There's no, but I mean, how big a disappointment is this to you?
Well, Judd, you saw the North Stars lose 2 Stanley Cups. I mean, that's nothing can top that. But it's disappointing enough because it's just like, you know, my gosh, I mean, you can't just have Kaprizov and Fleury just throw the whole team on their back and say, let's go, boys. I mean, Kaprizov kind of did that in game five, but it's like there again, everybody else needs to step up. You know, you can't just sit there and just, you got 2 all-star players, 1 for sure in the Hall of Fame. Kaprizov, I guarantee you, will be in there down the road. But it was, I just don't know.
Yeah. It's incredibly disappointing. Thanks, Bubba.
Yep.
Talk to you. He's down. He should be down. He's right.
Appreciate it, Bubba. All right. Let's go to Bennett. Back to Bennett.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on again. Of course. First off, I got to admit, I was completely wrong on Tuesday's event line. I mean, bad take about the refs, and you guys trashed me for that afterwards, which you were in your right to do. I went back and I listened. It was a horrible take. But I said that I felt like the Wild were going to be able to at least take this one into overtime, if not win, and bring it back to Minnesota in Game 7. And the team that showed up tonight didn't have a goddamn chance to do it. They had zero shot. They didn't play with heart. The passes were awful. They were losing puck battles on the boards. But what I really want to ask you guys is, is Dean Evason on more of a hot seat than we think? Do we think that he could be gone sooner than we think? Because you don't want to go through this cap hell that we're about to enter, and have him be the head coach of the team, building it in his vision, just to bring somebody on afterwards and try to make up what he's built. Do you want to bring somebody on earlier and bring in a head coach that can build the team through this cap hell and then come out of it ready to fire with what he wants?
Bennett, personally, what you just said, I would have said 8 hours ago was crazy. Absolutely crazy. After tonight, I said the same thing. I mean, you have to look at it. You have to look at everything. He has now been through two, because I'm not going to count the bubble thing. That's BS. They now decided that's playoffs. But he's now been through two playoffs, as far as I'm concerned, and has failed to make any necessary adjustments and has relied on the fundamental thinking that he uses in January. And he doesn't adjust it. So seriously, if you had said that to me at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'd be like, dude, what are you talking about? No. Now? Uh-uh. I am 100% with what you just said. And Declan flat out told me when I questioned Dean, they're not going to fire him. And I said, I do agree with you, but does he need to be looked at closely? Yes, he does. What did he do in this series to help them?
He didn't do anything. He didn't make line changes. He didn't make a change to the power play. He didn't shuffle it up. I mean, personally, I think you have too much firepower on the first power play. You know, you got to spread the firepower out.
Well, and why not put Foligno out there? Why not put Foligno on the power play? The other thing about that your point that I like is this one too. 5-on-5 for sure. And power play wise, we just know this, and I don't know why. And I used to call for it and Dex did too. And we sort of shied away from this. Fiala and Kaprizov don't work well together. They just don't. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me that they don't, but they don't. And so, yeah, but I mean, he didn't do, you've got to at some point in time juggle things around. You've got to give the Blues, I mean, the playoffs in hockey are not the regular season. You need to throw the opposing team off. Like this whole thing of, I'm not going to tell you who my goalie is the, like, that's the old BS thing. But what does help, juggle lines, give them different looks. I mean, think about what Berube did here, right? He made subtle changes that were very substantial on his lines. Why? Because he knew that the Ek line, Eriksson Ek line, was shutting his guys down, his top guys down. So he got guys away from them. Dean didn't do anything. He did nothing to help. But the problem then was, he's like, at the end, he's like, okay, I'll start Talbot. I mean, that is literally throwing the life preserver. That's the Titanic thing. He's exactly. Putting the, you know, by then it's too late.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with you. No. And I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I don't disagree with you.
No. Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, like, you know, keep your lines intact during the regular season. That's fine. You face a different opponent every single game. You're not going to see the same opponent twice in a row. Rarely, I should say, you're not going to see the same opponent twice in a row, but in the playoffs, it's totally different. It's all about those minor adjustments. It's about the adjustments to the lines. It's about the adjustments to the power play. I think the whole point of not telling us who the goaltender was before the series started was kind of a moot point when Fleury started the last three games of the regular season. And you knew they weren't going to do that if they were going to start Talbot.
Right.
And
it's not a strategic, and it's cliche. That's cliche. You know what's not cliche? To throw Kaprizov out with a different player or two. And then they're like, oh crap, we thought we were going to crack down on these guys. And look, the Wild struggled with that. Like when the Blues adjusted lines, the Wild was like, oh boy. Game four, it's no mistake, the Ek line was terrible after being fantastic for three games. So I'm with you. I got to look at everything. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me on.
Awesome.
Thanks, Bennett. Appreciate it, dude. You know what? He dropped off for a little bit. So let's let Gibby finish up his point here before he's had a nice day. Good night.
I had to go back to the oven to get my pooped pie nice and crispy for the remaining three slices. Just on what I forget what his name was with the awesome jersey collection was saying, wouldn't you have loved to see Kaprizov and Boldy work together on the power play? I feel like they could work magic. But back to the pie, we've got 5% Bill Guerin, 35% Dean Evason. I'm proud to say on Dean, he's got the Minnesota sports stink on him now. No coach is going to win in Minnesota once they've got the stink on him. He's lost three playoff series in a row. All three of those playoff series, the Wild had a lead in. You're not supposed to lose playoff series when you lead them. That's like a cardinal sin. He's got the stink. He's basically, he Chris Finched for an entire series. What Chris Finch did in 10 minutes by not calling a timeout on a 21-0 run, Dino did from game two to game six, basically. We had 25% for Kevin Fiala, and then I was just getting on to smacking the captain with 10% of this pie. Jared Spurgeon isn't the captain of this team. Marcus Foligno is, and I don't know how you address that going forward because you can't remove a C from a guy and have that be okay. Marcus Foligno is the heart and soul. He's not the smartest all the time. He came out with aplomb in the first couple periods of last game and this game, and then on the power play looked like he had brain worms a little bit by the end. But he is the guy that makes it tick. There's not enough passion with Spurgeon. The national hockey broadcast on TNT after one of his shots on the power play, they were like making fun of him because he didn't have enough oomph on his shot. They literally made a chuckle joke. Like, I don't know how you come back from that. He's the new Ryan Suter on the power play, just aimlessly flicking shots. And he's, as I said, once the announcers make fun of you, like, I don't know, 4%, just a little bit, goes to, maybe this is grouped into Dean, but also the wild forecheck. Once in game five or four, you saw how good Binnington was. You got to dump those pucks in the corner.
Right.
Every single forecheck, they're dumping it in back to where Binnington can get it. You got to go to the middle of the ice and take an angle.
Gibby, this is where the key thing Declan and I talked about comes in. You know what you do? The third time you do it in Binnington's first game, you don't dump it into the corner.
You shoot it behind the net.
No, better yet. You know what you do? You forecheck Binnington.
Yeah,
then he freaks out because Binnington's a head case. So the first time I send in Foligno to forecheck Binnington, and I pin him against the boards, and everyone goes crazy. And you know what Binnington does? He goes nuts. That whole thing of dumping it in actually presented you the opportunity to check Binnington. You check him, it's over.
I totally agree with that. I also thought Binnington was cheating a couple times, anticipating there.
And he was. That's a good point.
Caught him off guard. You wind up like you're going shooting down the boards and you shoot it straight on net. He is a head case. He could mess that up.
Yeah,
finally, 1% goes to the good old Anthony LaPanta. I follow him on Twitter. I'm not going there. I'm just saying, like, I like listening to his broadcast sometimes because he's exuberant. But, like, there's a time to be honest. And this is the time to be honest in a session like this. So I appreciate you guys. I don't know if I'm the last one. You guys are up late. And have a good night.
Gibby,
thank you, dude.
Oh my God, the last piece of his pie, incredible! Great stuff from Gibby.
I got thoughts
in general. Great stuff from Gibby
tomorrow.
Yep.
So are we done?
Yeah.
Are there more people in the room?
No,
you've been up for a long time.
This is it. We've been on this for almost 2 hours here in Wild Bill. And to be honest, thank you guys. Jed and I did this last year during the Vegas Golden Knights series. That was a cute, fun Wild team that pushed to 7 games. We were really hopeful that this was going to be at least a run throughout the month of May and into the Avalanche to make things interesting. And unfortunately, it's obviously ended through 6 games. But thank you so much. This is awesome. This was our biggest room we've had during a Wild vent line. You know, we do this during the Viking season, and the room's very big, and Vikings obviously are supreme no matter what happens in this town. But when the Wild are good, Judd and I love to talk WoW with you guys. So thank you to everyone who had joined us over the course of this series and this season too, by like Judd's Hockey Show. You guys helped us rise into the top 10 for Apple Hockey Podcast.
You guys are awesome.
Judd's Hockey Show, for God's sakes, was in a dance of spitting chicklets. I mean, yeah, it's pretty damn good. Don't get me wrong. All right, let's throw some thanks out here.
Before we go, and the show's not going away, but obviously it won't be on as much in the coming week because the Wild has decided to bow out. Let's thank our friends for presenting, first of all, Judd's Hockey Show postseason edition, Surly Dave, Omar, Stu. You guys are all
appreciate
great. Thank you so much. I buy your beer, so I love it. Honest endorsement. Seriously, if you enjoy beer, try Furious, Dex has Drips and Drops. He's got a ton of other
Supreme
beers.
I'm going to pour a little bit more in
Supreme.
Here. I still got some production work.
Thank our friends from Chill Boys. Great Long Johns. Great Boxers. Chillboys.com. Livia. Hey, you've helped me drop 40 pounds. Livea.com. You're up late at night. You're thinking to yourself, man, everything in life sucks. And I got to lose some weight. Well, guess what? Livia.com. Livea. They will help you lose the weight. They will help you keep the weight off. I can't explain to you how important maintaining weight loss is, because that's the one thing we struggle with. We'll be back tomorrow. Hockey Whisperer is going to have to make an exit of some sort on Mackie and Judd, Purple yeah. Daily as well. But Declan's exactly right. I echo everything he said. Thank you. Your calls tonight were fantastic. You venting actually helps us as well. We yes. appreciate that, and we will continue to provide you content on Judd's Hockey Show, because as someone said earlier tonight, reckless speculation is right around the corner. Thank you very much.
For Judd, I'm Declan Goff. Thank you so much. Pass, shoot, score.
Cameron, play
Billy. We'll be back soon.
Cameron, play Billy.
I can't.